If you are talking about it, he's talking about it. And if he's talking about it, it's worth talking about. Richard Dixon on Birmingham's Real Talk. Talk 99.5.
Just calling me about my car's extended warranty. Yeah. When it comes up on the screen, the call screen, as unknown, that's always a bad sign, isn't it? Always a bad sign. Somebody wants to talk to me about my health insurance. Somebody wants to sell me an extended warranty. Does that ever work, by the way? Has anybody ever been like, I'm so glad you called about my extended warranty. I was very concerned about it. I'm glad that you... I don't think that ever actually happens. Well, they must be succeeding in some way. Because otherwise they wouldn't keep doing it, right? I mean, you wouldn't keep getting these phone calls if it wasn't for the fact that some of them were working, I guess. I have about once or twice a week, I get a piece of mail from a company that is really just trying to loan me money on my house. I don't know that it's a mortgage company. I don't know exactly what they are because they try very hard to disguise what they are. And they try to make this piece of mail look official, and it's the immediate response requested or required. And, you know, Jefferson County and FDIC and all of these things that are designed to make it look like a big highfalutin dealio. And like I said, I get one or two of these things a week from this very same company who is insistent on me using some of the equity in my home, which I purchased last August. How much equity do you people think I have in my home at this point? But all I can say is the way that it's designed to fool people into doing business with you. In the same way, when you get these cloned phone calls, you know, it looks like it's coming from your area, when in fact it's actually somebody probably in India trying to sell you something, or it could be somebody on the other side of the country in a call center in a boiler room somewhere, but they clone a phone number to make it look like it's, you know, somebody nearby. Is that a good way to start a business relationship with somebody? Is that a good way to convince folks that you've got their best interests at heart? I just look at it and I think, you know, what do you think is going to happen when these people that you get your foot in the door by fooling them, right? You get your foot in the door, and then they find out they've been fooled. You think that they're going to put their trust in you still? When they say, well, you have an area code. It looks like literally you could live next door to me given the exchange that you've got on your phone, and now I find out that you're somewhere in Northern California. How the hell did you do that? Oh, I don't know. You're not fooling anybody. But somehow, I'm going to continue doing business with you. It seems unlikely, to say the least. I saw a great video. If you've ever seen the movie Wolf of Wall Street with Jordan Balfour. First off, it's not for the faint of heart. The cursing is ridiculous. F-bombs everywhere. It's actually the movie that put Jonah Hill over the top in terms of the guy who has used the F word more in motion pictures than anyone else. Can you believe it? It's not Samuel L. Jackson. It's Jonah Hill, and Wolf of Wall Street is what put him over the top. So a lot of F-bombs, nudity, sexual situations, basically all the stuff I love in a movie. And, you know, if that doesn't interest you, then you should stay as far away from it as possible. But there's a great scene where Leo, who is playing Jordan Balfour, the Wolf of Wall Street, is trying to get all of his old buddies that he has worked with throughout the years to come join him and work with him at his company. And he's like, oh, don't worry, I'm going to teach you how to do it. He says, sell me this pen. And the guy's like, oh, you need to see this pen. It's great. It's blue. He's like, give me that. Yeah, all right. You sell me this pen. He works his way around the room and tries to get people to, you know, do the best job they can to sell him this pen. Well, Jordan Balfour has recently been on the speaking circuit. And at one of his seminars, a guy popped up and said, you know, I'm a huge fan of your movie. I love it to death. And I was just wondering, he pulls out of his pocket and says, could you sign this or sell me this pen? And Balfour says, the most intelligent thing that I think I've ever heard a salesperson say in my life. He says, well, here's what that was all about. Because if you don't want to buy a pen, there's no way on God's green earth I can sell you a pen. If you don't need a pen, if you don't want a pen. So the first thing I do is I would start asking questions. How long have you been in the market for a pen? What kind of pen would you like? Do you want something? Do you want it blue? Do you want it black? Do you want it red? Is it for business use or is it for personal use? You know, you begin to feel out the customer to figure out what their needs are. Because if you're not trying to solve a need, what are you doing? And you can't artificially create a need, and you can't make somebody buy something that they don't want. And I thought, you know, I wish more people felt that way. I really do. I wish more salespeople, because these guys who are engaged in this boilerplate sales, you know, calling you up from call centers somewhere, they don't care about your need. They care about making a certain number of sales over the course of a day so they don't get in trouble with their boss and that they can take home a paycheck of some size at the end of the week. That's the difference between really good people and really bad salespeople. Really good salespeople actually solve their clients' needs, their customers' needs. And basically, that's what selling is. It's always about solving somebody's need, fixing somebody's need. Why are you at this car lot? I need transportation. That's a need. Now you've got somebody who can step up and say, why are you at Chubb Father's? Well, I'm hungry. Oh, we can probably fix that for you since we're a restaurant, right? It just makes sense. But not enough people feel that way. Not enough people in the industry feel that way. And that's why you're getting calls at 4 o'clock in the afternoon from a call, from a phone number that looks an awful lot like they're next door to you, but in reality, they're at a call center somewhere in Northern California trying to sell you a crappy extended warranty. Don't buy stuff over the phone anyway. Alan is in Calera with an answer to the big stupid question of the day. Big stupid question of the day. Ruin a television show title by changing one letter. What do you got, Alan?
Well, if you can add a letter, you can change the Flash to the Flasher.
You'd be adding two letters, I think, at that point.
No Flash. Well, okay, you're right.
Yeah, ER. You've got to get an ER.
How about Sappy Days?
Sappy Days or Happy Lays would be. All right, enough of that. Thank you, Alan. It all goes one direction, clearly, with me, and I'm sorry about that. I apologize in advance. So Andrew Cuomo has made the rookie mistake of apologizing for his past sexual harassment. It's not going to make things go away. All it does is create that blood in the water sense and feel. Look, if you're going to resign from office, then you can say, I'm terribly sorry about the pain that I've caused people. But now is the time when you begin to find out just how deep this went. Because originally you had one person who came forward and said, he did these things to me. If it had stopped there, Cuomo's story of, it's not me, it's her, she's overly sensitive, which wasn't, he didn't say that out loud, but he had other people saying it for him. Well, she's just overly sensitive, no one else is complaining. If it had stopped with her, then guess what? Would have been fine. Probably could have gotten away with it. Instead, you had a second person come forward, now a third has stepped up, and I don't know why, but I feel like the floodgates are opening here. First off, there's safety in numbers, right? Remember when Bill Cosby had exactly one accuser? And the next thing you know, 23 are coming forward, many of them telling the same story. I still don't think we ever got the whole story about Bill Cosby because we found out at one point that he was paying hundreds of thousands of dollars in hush money to various women, and they were taking that money, and then they decided to come out against him anyway. Which I kind of look at and go, okay, hold on a second. You took the money and you slept with him. Now you're making a different claim. Not with all the women, but I find some of that to be a little bit suspicious. A news reporter, and this video is making the rounds. You can find it online if you want to, but a lovely female reporter was at some function, and Andrew Cuomo, and she had a sausage in her hand, and Andrew Cuomo was urging her to eat the whole thing at once on camera, and she says that she felt very, very put upon at the time by, you know, the governor of New York State, and that's really part of it, isn't it? It's all, you know, this guy has used a lot of threats to keep people quiet. He has used his position of authority to keep people quiet, and he has used the no one will believe you or we'll just paint you as being a kook if you try to sell this. But once you start to get some other names coming forward and some other people, it's hard to stop that. And I don't know if the floodgates are going to open up and we're going to find a whole lot more. But I can tell you this. You had a lot of people back in 2020, in early 2020, talking, females, talking about how Joe Biden made them uncomfortable. That he would, you know, engage in this touching and the hair sniffing and the, you know, it seemed like he was always a little too touchy-feely. But you only had one, Tara Reid, the only one that claimed that he had actually physically, sexually assaulted her. Not rape, but sexual assault, nonetheless. Only had one of those. Now, if you had five or six of those, and they were all telling the same story, I don't think you'd be looking at President Joe Biden today. I don't think he would have even been the Democratic nominee. A pattern of touching and feeling and sniffing is one thing. A pattern of sexually assaulting women is another entirely. And I know there are those who would say, oh, Trump had a pattern of that, and he, all these women came forward. Yeah, but there were no two that told the same story. That's what was so interesting about it, is that you didn't end up with the same story repeated by a whole bunch of different women. You got, you know, there were 13 women, and there were 13 different stories. And in a couple of cases, there were NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, and money that supposedly changed hands. So 212, I'll tell you what, we'll take a break. We'll come back, take your calls. We'll get back into the news. Don't go away. We had a zombie mouse issue over the weekend. SHG has a cat named Apollo who apparently caught a mouse outside, decided to bring it inside to play with it in the middle of the night. And consequently, this poor mouse was damaged severely by the cat because he's a cat, you know. And but not quite dead. And she was freaking out. I mean, she was absolutely freaked. By the time I got there, she was out of her mind. And I did not know that she was afraid of mice. I'd never actually experienced that before. And different people have these feels. There are people who are just terrified of mice, people who are terrified of snakes. The only thing that really bugs me, and I'm not scared of them, but it bugs the heck out of me, insects. I hate them. I hate them so much. I don't like the roaches. I don't want to share any of my space with them. That's why I use Mr. Bugs. David, my man, comes out. He takes care of me every single month. The rate is great. I love the price. I love the work he does. I love the fact that he keeps me apprised of what he's doing as he's doing it. You know, keeps me filled in and lets me know what are we spraying for today and where are we putting down the barrier. And I may use him for a little mosquito reduction coming up here in the later spring and summer, because I don't like the mosquitoes either, and I do like spending time outside. I've got a great little outdoor entertaining area. So Mr. Bugs can take care of you. They're also going to handle my termite bond. MRBUGGS, MrBugs.com, 844-MRBUGGS. If you're going statewide, 844-MRBUGGS or 900-3433. To the phones we go. Joel is on a cell phone. Got an answer to the big stupid question of the day. Hello, Joel. What is on your mind?
Richard Dixon. It's always good to talk with you. Big stupid question. First of all, I want to say about the little kitty cat with the mouse. Mm-hmm. Of course he's got to bring him inside. You can't be playing with the mouse after dark and get in trouble.
Well, it was dark in the house, too.
You got to be inside. Oh,
it was dark in the
inside.
He was inside, yes.
Yeah. Stupid question of the day. The Pukes of Hazzard probably would not have been as successful.
The Pukes of Hazzard. I like it.
And
I would have watched it.
Although the Big Wang Theory might have been a little bigger show.
Well, among some people, yes. computer lovers, I think, you know, because that'll be enough of that. Thank you, Joel. A pleasure, as always. Let's talk to Hal, who is also on a cell phone. Not the same one, I assume. Hal, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on, man?
Big stupid question of the day. I'm thinking the Ruffle Man.
The Ruffle? Oh, as opposed to the Rifleman.
To the Rifleman.
I like it. I like it. Keep them coming, people. Thank you, Hal. Let's check in with B.A. Just having some fun on a rainy Monday, B.A. That's all we're doing, man.
Ha-ha. Good day, Mr. Dixon.
Howdy.
Long-time listener, 96th-time caller.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Real close. Did you know today in 1973, Dark Side of the Moon was released?
How about that?
Boy.
How about that?
45 million copies sold.
Yeah, 48 years ago, and it was it stayed on the charts for something like 741 weeks or something like that.
Yeah, like for 5 years.
Yeah. It was insane. Now, the charts are the top 200 albums, okay? So, I mean, that's a big chart. But it stayed on there for a long time, but far and away their most successful commercial album. And with good reason. I mean, you can listen to it today, and it's as fresh as it was 48 years ago when they released it.
Well, the Wizard of Oz stuff is really cool. What's your favorite song off that album?
Favorite song? Got to be Time. Time is... it's just one of my all-time favorite songs, and I keep it on my iPhone for use when I'm working out, which sounds weird, I know, but it works. It just works.
Okay, answer the question.
Hit it.
How about Happy Gaze? Later.
Well, I mean, obviously.
Goodbye.
They are happy. Thank you, Bia. He didn't wrap up with his usual Roll Tide, which I was going to use as an entree into the next story, which is that the University of Alabama is going back to in-person learning, and that is every campus of the University of Alabama, in-person learning, and they are doing that starting this fall. I just got to give them props, because this is how this is going to happen. There are always going to be people who sit around waiting for some authority figure to say to them, oh, you know, yes, it's okay, you can take your mask off and now you can go back to business as usual. But you have to remember, and I said this a long time ago, I said this maybe not a whole year ago, but, you know, 8-9 months ago. I said, if you're waiting for a Dr. Anthony Fauci or our own state, you know, health head guy, whatever, Dr. Wilson, if you're looking for these guys to come out and say, it's all right, ollie, oxen free, you're going to have a long wait. Because, you know, they're in the business of trying to keep you safe, and they're always going to err on the side of caution. Always, 100% of the time, they're going to err on the side of caution. So you're going to have to make up your own mind, and you're going to have to dive in with both feet. And I think this is going to happen more and more. I saw over the course of the weekend, I was out and about in a few places, and I saw a lot of people with no masks. I mean, I saw people getting out of their cars and walking toward the store, and they didn't have a mask on, and they didn't reach into their pocket for one, and they didn't turn around and do the old angry walk back to the car to get the mask. They wore no mask purposefully, and nobody at the store said anything to them about it. Now, I'm still wearing the mask because, like I said, I don't need the headache. I've already had the Rona anyway, but, you know, I just don't need to get into an argument about it in public. It's never a good look for a semi-famous radio professional like myself. But it's going to take institutions saying, screw it, we're opening up, like the University of Alabama and all of their campuses. It's going to take bars and restaurants saying, you know what? We're going to stop this every other seat nonsense. We're all going to start sitting together. Because the reality is, we all had masks on. We had all the social distancing. We closed down whole bunches of businesses, either intentionally or unintentionally. And the rate in Alabama still soared along with the rest of the country. So clearly none of that stuff. Well, it would have been so much worse if we hadn't done that. Really? Because I got news for you. Florida didn't do that, and it wasn't worse. California had much more strict regulations, and it was worse there, too. I mean, you can't explain that. There's no good explanation for it. So you're going to eventually, mankind in the United States of America is going to have to take this back, and we're probably going to be among the first countries that do it. I can see that France will probably continue a mask mandate ad infinitum. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw the same thing out of Italy. Italy got hit really hard and really early by this. They're probably a little more gun-shy and more prone to PTSD as a result of this than the United States of America is. But, yeah, I think it's going to take average citizens just deciding, I'm not going to participate any longer, in order to bring this thing to a head. I'm not saying it needs to be done now, and I'm not don't look at me as the ringleader. I'm not, you know, charge up San Juan Hill. That's not what I'm doing, and that's not who I am. I'm just saying, if you're going to sit around and you're going to wait for some authority figure to tell you it's okay, take the mask off, you can go to the movies, you're going to have a really, really long wait. I mean, the one thing that we learned from Dr. Fauci, Dr. Wilson, Dr. Harris, the one thing that we learned from these guys, they don't give a damn about whether or not you pay your bills. They don't care whether or not you pay your mortgage. They don't care whether or not you're able to pay your rent. They don't care whether or not you're able to feed your kids. And if you woke them up in the middle of the night and you said as much, every one of them would say, well, no, that's not my job. My job is to, you know, worry about your health and your safety. Okay, well, it's neither healthy nor safe for my children to starve to death and be evicted. None of those things are healthy or safe. That, you know, every one of them was still drawing a paycheck while they were talking about shutting things down. Every one of them was still driving a very nice car and living in a very nice house while they were telling you what you could and could not do. So when it comes time to finally pull the mask off and get back to business as usual, you know, they have a vested interest in, nope, I don't want to be seen as the first person to throw this out there, because if I'm wrong, it'll ruin my reputation forever. They're going to err on the side of caution. Every one of them is. Every time. So, it's up to you, America. You're going to have to take the bold, decisive step. And you decide when. Okay, it's First News Talk. Richard Dixon, Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. I confess, I love Duran Duran, I do. It's just something about that whole glam rock thing. I love Duran Duran, I love the Power Station, Robert Palmer, all that stuff. Loved it. 2:30, Talk 99.5, yeah?
Duran Duran, neither Duran nor Duran. Discuss.
We're not going to be discussing that. We're going to talk instead about my good friends at Chance Landscaping and so much more. Once this rain moves out in a few days, I got to get them over here to straighten out my yard situation, man. Things are starting to get a little bit shaggy in both the front and the back. And, usually I like to keep it, you know, business in the front, party in the back. No, it's actually business all over. And they do such a good job of taking care of me on a lot that's not really that easy to mow. They have got it absolutely done. And then, of course, the trimming, the edging, the sweeping up afterward. It always is such a professional job for such a little bit of money. Chance Landscaping and so much more. That's just the start of what they do. There's so much more. Has to do with home maintenance, has to do with projects around your house, stuff that needs to get done, but you either don't have the time for or you have no idea how to even get started. They can come by and give you an estimate. So give them a call. 205-821-7015, 205-821-7015, Chance Landscaping, and so much more. Alabama, by the way, is going into the March of Madness with a great record. They have won the regular season, right, in basketball. They won the regular season. But is there an SEC tournament this year, David? Or
yes,
am I...
there is an SEC tournament. It is next week up in Nashville at Bridgestone Arena, where it was supposed to be last year. And they were, I think Alabama had actually taken the floor and was doing the pregame warmups
when they pulled the plug.
Yes, yeah. Sir.
I seem to recall that as well. The success of Nate Oates is just astounding to me. The guy comes in and takes a program that had always been, quite frankly, relatively mediocre, you know. It's tough to be a basketball program at a football school. And he has done some remarkable things with it. And there is, gosh, I don't want to get anybody's hopes up, but there is reason to believe that he could take this team all the way. Let's see how they do in the SEC tournament. David, when was the last time that the basketball championship and the football championship were held by the same school? I remember
that would
Florida
be 2006, 2007, when the Florida Gators won the regular season SEC football title and then the regular season and conference tournament in basketball in 07.
Yeah. Didn't Ohio State do it before that once, I want to say?
Ohio State, yeah, I think it was 06 won the Big Ten championship in basketball and football the same year. And then
just
they lost
the Big
to Florida.
Ten.
Then they lost to Florida in the national championship.
Hmm. Okay. It's a fascinating time to be alive. And let me tell you something. We need this now more than ever. I mean, we really need the sports as a distraction. We got a $1.9 trillion STEM package that passed the House and is now going directly to the Senate. Of this, approximately, I just saw the number yesterday and now I've already forgotten it. It's less than 20% actually has anything to do with COVID. 20% has less than 20% has anything to do directly with coronavirus, having to do with, you know, helping out cities who are financially struggling as a result of COVID. No. There's a huge amount of money for cities like New York City that have mismanaged themselves into the situation that they're in. It doesn't have anything to do with COVID. They were failing before COVID ever showed up. And now the federal government is going to step in and bail them out. And the same is true with San Francisco and other cities around the nation with bad liberal policies that have been costing them serious money. And then, of course, you have all these fabulous pork projects that are being bandied about by Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, everybody and their brother. The House version has got the $15 minimum wage in it. The Senate parliamentarian, a person who steps up and tells the Senate what they can and cannot do constitutionally, says, yeah, you can't put that in there. It'll be unconstitutional. It'll be ruled unconstitutional almost immediately. So don't put the $15 an hour minimum wage into that thing. And then they'll have a where they put the two bills together, the Senate version and the House version. I can't remember what they call it.
Condensing, convalescing?
Yes, convalescing. That's what it is. They're going to convalesce. They're going to lay somewhere in a hospital bed, the two, and they're...
I don't know. I'm just throwing words out there. Some with the C.
Conjoining. They're I don't know what the hell it's... I know it starts with the C.
I was way off.
I know. I don't know why. I was just thinking about that the other day. I was walking down the aisle of a grocery store, and for some reason that... that line occurred to me. I'm sure I saw something, and I just laughed out loud. It's such a funny line. Samsonite. I was way off. Anyway, they put the two crazy bills together, and then they vote it in the House, and they vote it in the Senate, and then it goes up, and Joe Biden signs it, and a huge amount of money is borrowed to pay for pet projects for politicians. It achieves, $1,400 per citizen if you make, you know, less than a certain amount, $70,000, I think it is now. If you make less than $70,000, you can get $1,400. Your missus can get $1,400, or your mister can get $1,400 as well. And everybody is going to be, you know, just swimming in cash. You know, one of the things that really bugs me about this, aside from the fact that we're borrowing a ton of money and it's a lot of pork projects, is that nobody is bothering to look at whether or not those $1,400 checks are going to people who are in need. And I don't mean any disrespect, but I know people, I know lots of people who are going to get that money who do not need it. They have been working throughout the course of all of this. Their life has been completely unaffected by COVID in terms of their finances. I also know people who have been affected mightily as a result of COVID and could use way more than $1,400. $1,400 won't even begin to scratch the surface of fixing their problems, you know? $2,800 for a couple, not even going to scratch the surface. I wish there was a better way to target this money. And, of course, I wish that there was a way to get all the stupid pork out of it because what? Seriously? We're borrowing money from our future selves or China so that we can invest in pork projects so that these politicians can buy themselves another term. Do I sound cynical? Yeah. Ernest is on the line in Birmingham. Ernest, you're on the Birmingham Broker phone line. What's on your mind, man?
Yes, I got a answer to the big stupid question of the day. You remember the Mod Squad?
I do.
Okay. The answer is the Bod Squad, and it wouldn't be suitable for television, I don't think.
Maybe. Peggy Lipton was pretty hot, as I recall. Yeah. She was on the Bod Squad for sure. Lovely, Ernest. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate it. And, of course, Link. Solid. Let's talk to Bo in Silicaga. Bo, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on?
Hey, Richard. What's up?
Putting on a little radio show.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to say this and leave the rest of it to your imagination.
All righty.
The hunt.
That'll do it. Thank you. Thank you, Bo. That's good. You're done. All right. You know, when I ask these questions, I open the door to things just like that. And I apologize. 545-9950, 844-455-9950. What else can I tell you about what's going on out there? Golfers donned red and black on Sunday to show support for Tiger Woods, who is laid up as a result of an automobile accident last week. He had several broken bones in his right leg, a lot of contusions as well. And consequently, they say he's going to have trouble learning to walk again, much less swing a golf club. Could be the end of his career. Maybe not. You know, America loves a good comeback story. And for Tiger, this would be the third or fourth one, I think, right? He had the whole sex thing. That was a big deal. Remember when that happened, they said that he lost something like $1 billion worth of endorsements. $1 billion with a B. And I thought, he had $1 billion worth of endorsements to lose? Holy cow. He manages to work his way back from that, and he manages to get some good golf in and wins a couple more majors, and life is good. And then he's got the drug problem because of the back thing. You know, he had serious problems with his back and ended up getting addicted to opioids and some stuff that was really serious. I mean, opioids are bad enough, but they were talking about stuff like animal tranquilizers that's used on, like, big cats. I'm not making this up. He was taking stuff that was designed for circus animals, all right? That's how serious his pain was, and then, you know, the addiction takes hold. And he manages to come back from that and wins a few matches. I wouldn't say that he won any Masters after that, but he did win the Masters after that. You're right. And now this. You ever get the feeling, Tiger, someone's trying to tell you something? Yeah, you're starting to get the idea.
This is probably the greatest obstacle he's had. If he was younger, he'd have a better chance, but was he 46, you said?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, still, that's relatively young, but if he had multiple compound fractures in his legs, walking is going to be more difficult, and I don't see him maybe on the senior tour where they allow them to use golf carts, but I don't see him on the regular PGA.
Could be rough, man. I would put him, were he not such a superb athlete, and he is, by the way, a superb athlete. He's a guy who actually changed the way people work out for golf. You know, and his dad came up with a couple of different things that could be done to fix his upper body and lower body strength and flexibility and all of this stuff. And if you saw him, there were times when Tiger just looked super buff, and you're like, you wouldn't think a golfer would have to be super buff. I mean, look at some of the golfers that we've had as successes in the past. John Daly, for instance. Roger Maltby, a perfect example. But this guy, he was stoked and cut. And I would say if you were looking at something like this in a regular person, 2 years. 2 years to get back to the point where he could feasibly golf again, because that's how bad his legs were. With Tiger Woods, I bet he does it in less than one. I bet he could, if he wants to, I bet he could be back in less than one, because he really is an amazing athlete. Let's see, what else do we have? I'm just trying to get you through the top stories. A Van Gogh painting that has never been publicly displayed is about to be publicly displayed. It's a Paris street scene, was painted by Vincent Van Gogh, and has spent more than a century behind closed doors in the private collection of a French family. He was living with his brother Theo in the French capital in 1887 when he painted this picture, which I have a representation of in front of me, and it's classic vintage Van Gogh. I mean, it looks exactly like everything you were ever taught about the Impressionists when you were in school. It's going to be put on display by Sotheby's Auction House in Amsterdam, Hong Kong, and Paris prior to being auctioned off next month. The auction house put an estimated value on the artwork of about $6 million. Six to nine million dollars. Could you imagine taking any picture off your wall, bringing it to an auction house, and them saying, "Here you go. Take $6 million. How long has this been hanging here? I really could have used that money a few years ago. How about we'll take a quick break, hurry back, and wrap this thing up with your calls, 545-9950, 844-455-9950. Stick around.